نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى revealed the glorious Quran in the month of Ramadan. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is that month in which the Quran was revealed. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر. We have revealed the Quran in the night of power, in Laylatul Qadr. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would revise the Quran with Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam during every night of Ramadan. During every night of Ramadan, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam would descend, and in the solitude of the night, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would read the Quran to Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salam would read the Quran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The night was chosen for this amal so that both can fully concentrate and benefit as much as possible from the meanings and the commentary of the Quran. Following in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, the Tabi'in, the Taba Tabi'in, and the pious predecessors and the pious people of the Ummah paid special attention to the Quran during the month of Ramadan. Our Mashaykh, the likes of Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, Hazrat Mawlana Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, they had so many engagements. They were occupied in deeni work throughout the day and night. Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi himself says, that it has become my habit to eat only once in 24 hours. Because of lack of time. He said, for as long as my sister was alive, I would eat twice. After she passed away, I am eating only once now. Because a person experiences hunger after 24 hours. And a person has to eat at least once in 24 hours. He says that when my sister was alive, she had a lot of love for me. So at lunch time, whilst I was working, she would come with food and she would feed me. And many times I would not even know what she is feeding me. So engrossed in work. Academic works, hadith, tafsir, fiqh, teaching, learning, Da'wah, tabligh, tazkiyah, writing letters, answering queries. Very busy with so many deeni engagements. But in the month of Ramadan, these mashayikh would put everything on one side and occupy themselves in the recitation of the Quran only. I wish we could also do that. The month of Ramadan is not for lectures. The month of Ramadan is not for programs. But because we are weak, we spend 11 months in negligence. So in order for us to realize our purpose in life, our purpose of coming for etikaf, and in order for us to value these 10 days, and in order for us to value the remaining life, we have to talk and remind each other. Otherwise, if each and every one of us knew the purpose of our life, if it was embedded in not only our hearts and minds, in our lives, in our system, then the appropriate thing would have been everybody for himself, alhamdulillah. Nobody will be told what to do. No timetable. Because everybody is concerned about the hereafter. Somebody is reciting the Quran. Somebody is in zikr. Somebody is in salat. Everybody according to his needs. That is the appropriate thing to do in the month of Ramadan. Nowadays, unfortunately, people engage in so many activities even in the month of Ramadan. I am talking about lectures and programs, dini programs. People engage in worldly activities. People waste so much time on Radio Ramadan. Ramadan festival, Eid festival, Ramadan bazaar. We have to be very careful, my friends, how we spend our time in the month of Ramadan. Each and every second of our lives is very, very precious, very, very valuable. Each and every second. A saint was called by somebody. Can I speak to you? I need to speak to you. I need to have a word with you. So he stopped and he said, stop the sun moving first and then I will talk to you. They were very much concerned. They knew that once we breathe our last, we will not be able to do anything for the hereafter. Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullahu ta'ala, a very great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very pious personality. One day Khadir alayhi salam came to meet him. Now Khadir alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are two opinions amongst the ulama. One opinion is that he is still alive. So Khadir alayhi salam came to meet Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam continued in his work again. Recitation of the Quran, dhikr, reading of a book, writing a book, whatever he was engaged in. So Khadir alayhi salam introduced himself and he said, I am Khadir. So he said, okay, fine, Khadir. Alhamdulillah. And he continued. He said, people long to meet me and see me. Because I am the Prophet of Allah and they know that I am still alive. People long to meet me. And here I have come to you myself to meet you and you are not even paying attention. So he said, those people will entertain the desire of meeting you who are free from meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am busy with Allah. Because when I am reciting the Quran, I am talking to Allah. When I am doing dhikr, I am talking to Allah. When I am performing salat, I am talking to Allah. When I am in the service of deen, I am in the service of Allah. So those who are free from engagement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will desire to meet you. Because they have time. I haven't got time. I am busy with Allah. They used to value each and every moment, my friends. Whenever we do anything in life, we should have a purpose. Is this going to benefit me in the hereafter? Yes, it is going to benefit me. Can I do something at this very moment which will benefit me more? Is what I am about to do beneficial for me in the hereafter? No. Is it beneficial for me in this world? Yes. It is beneficial for me in this world, but is it a necessity? No. If it is not a necessity, why should I not do something during this time which will benefit me in the hereafter? Is it going to benefit me in the hereafter? No. Is it going to benefit me in this world? No. Why should I engage in this work? I will be wasting precious moments of my life. There is nothing more precious than the precious moments of our lives. There is no commodity which is more precious than the moments of our life. And we are just wasting them. Ho rahi hai umr, misle barf kam. Ho rahi hai umr, misle barf kam. Chupke chupke rafta rafta dam badam. Ho rahi hai umr, the life is decreasing. The life is melting, just like the ice. Life is melting like ice. Now, when the ice melts, it doesn't make any announcements. It doesn't inform you, it doesn't let you know. It melts quietly, quietly. Chupke chupke, quietly, quietly, silently. Rafta rafta. Slowly, slowly, dam badam, on every breath. Use the ice before it melts, otherwise you will be left with water only. Use your life before it melts, otherwise you will be left with regret only. Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullahi Ali, a very great saint of our time, the Shaykh of Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the Khalifa of Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, one of his senior Khulafa. He says that one day, when it was very hot, in the afternoon, I left my home to go somewhere. And I saw a person selling lollies, selling ice balls. Because I was born in India in a village, and I grew up in India in a village, I have myself seen poor people, they buy ice. So let's say if he has 500 rupees, he doesn't have fridge, freezer. He will buy ice, blocks of ice. And he will bring the blocks of ice to a village and he will crush the ice and he will make a bowl out of the ice. And then he will sprinkle some juice on it, some syrup. And he will make that a lolly. And he will sell it for 50 paisa, 25 paisa. So he has spent 500 rupees in buying those blocks of ice, and at the end of the day, after selling those blocks of ice in the form of lollies, he will earn 100 rupees extra and he will go home and he will feed the family. And again tomorrow he will take the 500 rupees, again blocks of ice. So 500 rupees, that is his balance, which is very, very precious for him. And that 500 rupees every day becomes blocks of ice. So for him, these blocks of ice are 500 rupees. And if these blocks of ice melt, then he will go home with nothing. He will not be able to feed his family. So Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi says it was 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, very hot June, July in India, maybe May, June, July, very hot. And in hot times, people don't come out of their homes in the afternoon. And if people don't come out of their homes, you have no customers. And the ice is melting. And one or two individuals who are passing, like Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi, this lolly man, he was pleading. He was beseeching them and he was saying, please, please buy something from me before it melts. Because he could not see the blocks of ice melting. He was seeing 500 rupees melting. And that is only his means of survival. He was saying, please, please, before this ice melts, don't ruin me, please buy something from me. Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, I immediately stopped when I heard his cry. And I learned a lesson. I learned a lesson that I am also in the same situation. He is worried about his eyes melting. I should be worried about my life melting. In the month of Ramadan, people are spending hours on Radio Ramadan. Yes, brother, what do you want to say? Who do you want to say to? Salam. Yes, salam to this person, salam to that person. I am not a mufti. So I cannot pass any fatwas. And I am not passing any fatwa. But I have no doubt whatsoever in my heart and in my mind that the ulama, with a sound understanding of deen, will all agree with me that the month of Ramadan is not for such activities. It pains me, it hurts me that we waste so much valuable time. The month of Ramadan is not for this lecture. I wish we could do without these lectures. I wish we could spend this time doing something else, maybe performing 2 rakat salat and making tawbah and crying to Allah and beseeching Him for His mercy. I wish we could have recited a juz, 2 juz, 3 juz during this time. But after much contemplation, after mashwara with the akabir, mashayikh, mashwara amongst ourselves, and the experience of the past many years, we have to. This is the only way. If we were to leave these 500 people to do whatever they want to, within 24 hours you would see people in pockets just talking about anything. In order to keep everybody moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to do this. So I was saying that some of our mashayikh, majority of them only one thing, ibadat in the month of Ramadan, and some of them, 90% of their time was being used in the recitation of the Quran. Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, for 30-35 years, continuously in the month of Ramadan, completed a Quran daily. He would come very early to the masjid for Dhuhr Salat. And in the 4 rakat sunnah, he would recite the Quran. After Zohar, he would remain engaged reciting the Quran, so much so that people who had come to meet him before Zohar, who found him engaged reciting long sunnah, and who were waiting for him that he will finish sunnah now, he will finish now, he will finish now, and he finished just before the iqama. After salat, they would wait for him again. But his salat used to be so long that they would have to leave without meeting him, because they just wouldn't know when he is going to complete. Allahu Akbar. So my friends, let us connect ourselves to the glorious Quran. More in the month of Ramadan, but inshallah throughout our lives. Those people who worry and who have the concern for their islah, purification of the heart, tazkiyah, soul purification. They connect themselves to mashayikh. And when they connect themselves to mashayikh, they are given lessons, exercises, practices, which will enhance the condition of their hearts, and slowly, 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 this neglectful heart will become a heart that will continually remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, the grandfather of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib hafidhahullahu ta'ala, the father of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was the student of Shaykhul Hind Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Deobandi rahimahullahu ta'ala, great scholar, a comprehensive personality. So many excellencies in one person. Shaykhul Hind rahimahullah ta'ala, he was the teacher of Bukhari Sharif, Shaykhul Hadith in Darulum Deoband. And during his time there were no formalities. Nowadays we give so many titles to our shuyukh, our ulama. Simple times, very pious people in Deoband. Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi says that when I was studying in Darulum Deoband, from the principal until the clerk and the cleaner, each member of the staff of Darulum Deoband was a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the Shaykhul Hadith and the principal to the clerk and the cleaner, each person was a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each person would wake up for tahajjud. Each person would do zikr in the morning after tahajjud. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi says that when we used to go in the dars of our teacher, Shaykhul Hadith, Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Deobandi rahimahullahu ta'ala, his heart was so alert as far as the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. It was so alert. Because we have never experienced anything like this, so it's very difficult even to comprehend. Because we have neither experienced it ourselves, nor have we seen anybody in this condition. Then when he used to teach Bukhari, we used to hear two voices. One, his lecture on Bukhari, and second, with every pumping of his heart, the sound of Allah. Allah, Allah, Allah. His heart was so alert. His heart was so zakir, so engrossed in the remembrance of Allah, that we could actually hear Allah, Allah, Allah with the pumping of the heart. So those people who have the concern for Islam, and once the heart becomes zakir, somebody asked Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahimahullah ta'ala. These were all great spiritual doctors. They had the insight regarding deen. Somebody asked, what is istiqamah? Somebody asked Hazrat Raipuri rahimahullah ta'ala, Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahimahullah, what is istiqamah? We talk about so many things in this day and age. Please make dua for istiqamat. For how long have you been requesting people for istiqamat? Can I ask you what istiqamat is? He won't know the answer. It's just fashion. Because I have heard somebody say, make dua for my istiqamat. I'm also saying, make dua for istiqamat. We don't know what istiqamat is. Said, what is istiqamat? Somebody asked Hazrat Raipuri rahmatullahi alayhi. He said, istiqamat is that a person strives to acquire the inner remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he reaches that stage. He reaches that stage when he feels out of place when he is not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He feels restless without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He only finds peace and contentment in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is istiqamah. And he said, when a person reaches that stage, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself uses him for the work of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may use him for guiding people through writing books, writing articles. Allah may use him through teaching. Allah may use him through tabligh. Allah may use him through tazkiyah. Allah himself uses him when he reaches that high level of istiqamat. Zikr. When the heart becomes zakir, everything is in control. So when a person attaches himself to a sheikh and he gives himself over to his sheikh, that I have given myself to you, now you mold me. You mold me. Our akabir and our mashayik say that a murid should become like a wood in the hands of the carpenter. And leave it to the carpenter to make him whatever he wants to make him. Hand yourself over to your sheikh. And after handing yourself over to your sheikh, follow his guidance. And by following his guidance, inshallah, soon your heart will become zakir. And when the heart becomes zakir, when the heart becomes alert, إِذَا saluhat saluha الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If the heart is zakir, then the whole body will be zakir. And if the heart is negligent, the whole body will remain negligent. Now some of you may say, our hearts are not zakir. We don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Our hearts do not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are still here in itikaf. Our body is doing good. So there is a difference between a car which is running on its own on the motorway and a car which is being towed. Both are running on the motorway. One is being towed and the other is running by itself. There is a lot of difference. Whatever good we do, we are being towed. Sometimes we are afraid. Suddenly fear of Jahannam comes and that tows us for a while. Sometimes raghbat for Jannat. Sometimes because of a friend, we are being towed. When the heart becomes zakir, whether you are in public, whether you are on your own, wherever you may be, you have the environment or no environment, you will always do what Allah wishes you to do, what Allah desires you to do. You will run smoothly on your own. Heart should become zakir. Heart should become zakir. Heart should become zakir. Allah, 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 Allah. The tongue remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but heart and mind is elsewhere. That is also a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person wrote to Haji Imdadullah Muhajiri Makki rahimahullah ta'ala. A very great personality in the field of tazkiyah. The Shaykh of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Maulana Qasim Nanotvi, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, Maulana Yaqub Nanotvi, rahimahumullah ta'ala. Sayyidu Taifa. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahimahullah ta'ala. Somebody wrote to him that when I sit down to do dhikr, this is what happens in the initial stages. Allah, 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 la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Sometimes the mind is there, sometimes the mind is elsewhere, only the tongue is in remembrance of Allah. When I sit down to do zikr, the tongue is remembering Allah, but not the heart and the mind. He was a beginner. And a good teacher is he who does not make his student despondent. A good teacher is he who encourages his student. So he complained that when I sit down to do zikr, the tongue is in zikr, but heart and mind is not in zikr. He said, Mubarak. Mubarak, congratulations. At least one limb of your body has started doing the zikr of Allah. Before, the heart was negligent and the tongue was negligent. Now, alhamdulillah, the tongue is remembering Allah. Soon, inshallah, if you continue the heart, will also remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are special exercises which are taught by shuyukh, mashayikh. Nowadays, many people don't associate themselves to mashayikh. Those who do not follow the lessons given by the mashayikh. They are not punctual with the mamulat, with the azkar. And how long does it take? Maximum 1 hour. Can we not take out 1 hour from our 24 hours to attach our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in did not require to exert this effort on zikr because they were blessed with the company of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his company was so powerful that once a person came in his company for 1 second in the state of iman, his heart would immediately become zakir. His company was so powerful. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that with every human there is an angel and there is a shaitan. Allah has appointed an angel to fight the shaitan. Shaitan has appointed a shaitan with every human to misguide him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of his mercy has appointed an angel who whispers good thoughts. So sometimes we say, I want to go for itikaf. No, I'll go next year. No, I must go this year. It's okay, I'll go next year. I'm only 20. Who knows, you might die next year. Go this year. These are whispers of angel and shaitan. Angel is guiding us towards good. Shaitan is misguiding us. He is guiding us towards evil. So the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in said, O Messenger of Allah, do you also have a shaitan with you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, I also have a shaitan, but he has accepted Islam. There are two interpretations to this hadith. One interpretation is that he has accepted Islam. Walakinnahu aslam. He has accepted Islam. This was how powerful the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. And the environment was good. So many pious personalities, all through Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara. Now we are far away from the barakat of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 1436 years away. Environment is very bad. Majority of the people are irreligious. We cannot find such powerful companies now. So now whatever good company we find, we sit in the company, we benefit from that company, and with that we need to exert effort on zikr. Allah, 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 Allah. Through experience of years and years, hundreds of years, the mashayikh have connected so many people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these exercises. So when a person connects himself to a sheikh, a qualified sheikh, and after connection, when the sheikh begins his lessons, that this is what you need to do, he will always say, you need to recite one juz from the Quran. And because of the degeneration of the Muslim Ummah, the sheikh will say, target is one juz, but if you can't do one juz, then start with three quarter. If not three quarter, start with half. If not half, start with quarter. If not quarter, start with one ruku. But in order for you to excel and progress in making your heart zakir, in order for you to excel towards the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is necessary for you to read the Quran throughout the year. So friends, make this intention that inshallah, after Ramadan, whether you are associated to any sheikh or not, if you are already associated to your sheikh, then whatever he has prescribed to you, please carry it out for your sake, for the sake of your progress, for the sake of your akhirat. And if you are not connected to a sheikh, find a sheikh and connect yourself to a sheikh, compatible sheikh. And whatever the situation, make a firm resolution that inshallah, after Ramadan, I will recite one juz on a daily basis. First, you have to choose the target and then you aim. So make a target. What is the target? One juz daily. Once you have fixed this, thereafter fix time. When can I recite in my 24 hours? Oh, between Asr and Maghrib, I'm free every day. I just walk out of the masjid and talk to my friends and come back for Maghrib. I'm wasting my time every day between Asr and Maghrib. That is my time for recitation of one juz now. So many people say that I cannot carry out my mamulat. Prescribed practices. So the practices have been prescribed by your sheikh. Now find time in the 24 hours. I have 15 minutes free here, 10 minutes free here, 20 minutes free here. Okay, I will do this here, I will do this here, I will do this here. Recitation of the Quran on a daily basis. Huffaz, three juz every day, majority of which should be in Salat. And non-huffaz, one juz every day. If not three, then two. If not two, then one. If not one, then half. Half six times will become three. One and a half twice will become three. Quarter 12 times will become three. Learn quarter and recite it 11 times throughout the day in your sunnah, in your nafal. Before you know, you will know your Quran. You will be able to lead 20 rakat next year, inshallah. Non-huffaz, one juz every day. If not one, three quarter. If not half. If not quarter. If not one ruku. But every day, daily. Daily. And in the month of Ramadan, whilst you are here, as much as possible. We have fixed time for dhikr. We have fixed time for lectures. We have fixed time for food. We have fixed time for tahajjud. We have fixed time for dua before iftar. Dua at the time of tahajjud. The remaining time should be spent in recitation of the Quran. MashaAllah, so many brothers come with a lot of zeal and you find them reading books. Don't read books now, after Ramadan. Everything after Ramadan. Whatever you need, you are being given by the ulama. They are all lecturing. They are all telling you what you need to do, how you need to spend your life, how you can bring deen in your life. You don't need to study anything here. Follow the 24-hour timetable, and in that, wherever you find a free slot, you see majority of the people, what do? They recite the Quran. Recite the Quran. The slowest reciter should be able to recite at least five juz whilst in itikaf. Because there is ample time. Ample time. 1:20, we close fast. Fajr is at 2 o'clock. Recitation of Quran. We go to sleep, we wake up again at 10:15, 10:30. From then until 11:45 when Talim begins, we are free. We can recite the Quran. After Asr, we have 45 minutes to recite the Quran. Some days, we will have 1.5 hour to recite the Quran. There will be no lecture after Asr. And the time allocated for sleep is more than 8 hours. You don't have to sleep more than 8 hours. We can recite the Quran then as well. It is easy for the slowest reader to recite five juz daily. So make that a target. And if you are able to recite 6, 7, 8, 9, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. There are people sitting in this gathering, maybe little in number, who are reciting 15 juz daily. Who are reciting 20 juz daily. And there could be an individual who is reciting the whole Quran daily. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala would recite 2 Quran daily in the month of Ramadan. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi read 2 Quran daily in the month of Ramadan. Allah will put barakah. Allah will put barakah. Make intention of 5 juz inshallah. Begin. There are some youngsters who, despite being able to read the Quran, don't read the Quran. Because they find it easy. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the tasbih, subhanallah, 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 looking around here and there. Recite the Quran. Push yourself to do this. Connect yourself to the Quran. Once you connect yourself to the Quran, you will benefit so much. I went into another town in a Khatm-e-Quran gathering. And I lectured. And majority of the people in my gathering were youngsters. So I went below one ruku. And I said, if you are unable to recite one ruku, then make a promise to me that you will recite one ayah every day. One ayah. Now you need a minimum of 3 ayats to complete the qirat in salat. So the local imam there, Mufti Sahib, he, whilst having food, said that you encourage the people to recite the Quran and you came down so much, he criticized me in a nice way. He reprimanded me, he tried to rectify me. That if a person recites one ayat from the Quran, it will not remain recitation. You need at least 3 ayat for qirat. So he said, what is the point of one ayah? So I remained silent. There is no need to argue every point. I knew what I was doing and he knew what he was doing. After a while, when I went into his locality, he said, now I understand what you are doing. I said, Alhamdulillah. I was somehow trying to connect the youth to the taste of the Quran. The thought in my mind was that if I connect them even with one ayah, and I said to them, I said, this is what you need to do from today. You come for salat, after salat, before salat, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين and then close the Quran. Second day, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن الرحيم. Third day, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. But I said, you have to make a promise to me that daily you will do this. Daily. Without any means. Because any amal that we carry out, any amal we carry out, if we do something in excess today, tomorrow, the day after 3 days, we will get a lot of reward. And then after 3 days we leave it. The spiritual benefit that you are supposed to get, you will not get. In order for one to progress spiritually, daily you have to carry on. You have to nurture your heart daily with the spiritual food. So I knew that the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's quality is such that this person will want to let go of the Quran after reciting one ayah, but the Quran will not let him go. And he said that, Alhamdulillah, there are many youngsters in our masjid, not all of them, but many of them who were that day in that gathering, now they are reciting the Quran, quarter juz, half juz, one juz. Experience the taste. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So those of you who are connected to me, huffaz 3 juz daily, non-huffaz 1 juz daily. And in the month of Ramadan, as much as possible, as much as possible, as much as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So basically this is what I wanted to say today. I had no intention of speaking today in English, but the only reason why I came out to speak to you, in fact, 2 reasons. One is that those brothers who cannot understand Urdu and who have love for me, I am sure they were waiting for me to speak in their language. So I thought that I should say something in English as well today. And the second reason, to encourage myself and all of us to recite as much Quran as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار
اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.